name of the living God. Thank you very much, Brother Sarah, Sister Bilodi, for bringing the worship to us. It was good.
Yes, it was.
I encourage those of you who are there to wear your masks, because not necessarily talking. If I were not talking, I would probably have the mask on.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So, but again, we are very socially distanced, so
amen.
I don't know whether we are spiritually distanced as well, so probably, hopefully.
My goodness.
Well, Larry just said thank you very much for the worship.
Amen.
And for that testimony, that was very reassuring to see what our Lord can do. I was coming with my wife, but then I think we have to celebrate somebody's birthday. They had to do one or two things. And so at the last minute, she dropped off the trip. So I'm basically here by myself for my household. But I bring you their greetings, their love, and their goodness. The last time I was here, I shared from what I called, what do you have? And we focused on Moses and the children of Israel. Today I want to continue along the same lines. But I've titled my message today, In Times of Adversity and Uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have in times of adversity and uncertainty? Thank you for the choice of songs, because they align, you know, all the songs, particularly three of them align very much with what I have made on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I wish you would sing the one about the eye in the storm, again and again. I mean, I could sing that for another 10 or so minutes, just to realize that he carries us through that eye of the storm. And each one of us here has a storm of sorts. Or if you don't have it now, you've been through a storm.
Amen.
Or if you haven't been through a storm, you will be through a storm. Now, my preference would be you have been through a storm, and you're going through one now, and you'll be behind.
Right.
It's the storms ahead that scare me. The ones that I've left behind me, those are gone. And if I have weathered them and I've come to this stage, then I'll probably weather through. It's all ahead that you say now, Lord, when it comes, and where it comes from, and where will it find me. So I got the book of 1 Kings, and I'm going to really attempt a very difficult thing to try and run through three chapters of scripture. Very quickly. I will try not to break you with a lot of reading, but reading scripture exciting. Especially these days when I have a lot of time on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up and I read and I read, and I go back and I read and I read.
Mm-hmm.
But this particular setting, Judah and Israel as kingdoms have separated.
Mm.
Israel has a king, and the king of Israel is Ahab.
Okay.
I have been listening to a preacher who, Jonathan Kahn, I think, many of you listen to Jonathan, Rabbi Jonathan Kahn from New Jersey. He equates the United States of America to Israel at this particular time, and he talks about how, and actually he calculates how many days Ahab was king, Ahab was on the stage, and the king that replaced him was King Jehu, and how long Jehu was on the stage, and he says Israel is, I mean, America is just playing out Israel. But that's not what I'm going to preach about. I mean, I know that he's been teaching about that. And actually, he says, according to that analysis, President Trump is Jehu. So, and he has so many similarities that he draws along those lines. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. But in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 16, first of all, from verse 29, the Bible talks about Ahab having sinned against the Lord beyond any other king that ever lived at that time. And he says very briefly, where is Kings? I know it's after Genesis.
Before Revelation.
So First Kings chapter 16, verse 29 says, in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab, son of Omri, became king of Israel, and he reigned in Samaria over Israel 22 years. Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Now, that is how evil this man was. So evil that the Bible, that the writers of this particular passage had to bring out that as an attribute to him. It is at that time that Elijah arises as a prophet of God. At a time when there is so much evil in the land, and I don't know whether we can say that there is any less evil in the land today than there was in the times of King Ahab. Probably there is more evil in my mind, according to my thinking, than there was at that particular time. Everything that was happening then is happening now, but on a larger scale. Because it is happening almost in every society. 184, I no longer know how many countries there are in the world. 184? Something like that. And some of the countries, the populations have more than quadrupled, so which means there's a lot that is happening that we know. Elijah, as a prophet, has two things working for him at that time. Let's go to chapter 17 very quickly. Now, Elijah the Tishbite, and again, we don't know where Elijah came from. We don't know his father, we don't know his mother. We don't know his brothers. All we know is that he was a Tishbite. I think Tishbites must have been a tribe from one of those places. So then one of the tribes of the children of Israel. So I don't know Tishbites, who were they? But he was a Tishbite from Gilead, saying to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word. Here is a prophet of God who had the audacity to tell the king, there will be no rain except at my word. And I want you to know something. He doesn't say except at the word of the Lord. No. It is except at my word. At that time, God hasn't told him. God hasn't spoken to Elijah. God hasn't said to Elijah, go and tell Ahab. But Elijah, driven by the Spirit, God then says to Ahab, at my word. So, two things are working in the life of Elijah that are very important for each one of us as a believer to have. Number one, he has the word of God. And I want us to infuse our lives with the Word of God and compound ourselves with the Word of God. And the Word of God comes to us in very sundry ways. The Word of God comes to us in ways that you and I cannot understand and cannot explain. And sometimes the Word of the Lord comes from corners that you don't expect. And sometimes it comes when you're not expecting it. And sometimes it comes and the Lord is answering a question that you have. And the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12, the Lord watches over his word to perform it.
Amen.
Brethren, amen. The more you plant the word of God, the more the Lord will work in your life. Because the Lord doesn't watch you. It's not the language that the Lord is watching. It's not the accent the Lord is watching. It's not the color the Lord is watching. He is watching over his word. So much so that even when his word is with Rahab, the prostitute. The Lord is watching that word. And the Lord goes to the house of Rahab and performs his word in the house of Rahab, the prostitute. Because the Lord is watching his word. So much so that when the thief on the cross says to the Lord, remember me. The Lord is watching over his word. Jesus turns to the man and says, tonight you will be with me. The man did not do anything else. He wasn't baptized. He did not speak in tongues. He was not baptized in the Holy Ghost. But he was with Jesus in paradise because the Lord is watching over his word.
Amen.
Pick the word of the Lord when it is spoken and run with it. I will give you a testimony. And I'll give you a testimony that might embarrass somebody, but I hope it doesn't embarrass them. I hope it encourages them. My father and I, and probably I've given a part of this testimony here already. My father and I were praying about buying a house. And we woke up one morning, my wife and I, and we had this anxious in us that said, you know what? We need to get a house. We need to buy a house. But we had already gone through a painful experience of house buying and house selling. But the Lord is speaking to us and saying, it's time to buy a house. And we are praying and saying, Lord, give us guidance and wisdom if we really want this to buy a house. We don't even have the money. And our prayer is not the place. But we want to buy a house. There's a desire in our heart. We want to buy a house. So, my wife and I wish she was here. We would go in the evenings in the neighborhood of Pastor Bill. Those houses up there. Yeah, the Catholic Church, those big houses. We go there and we walk and we park our car and we are praying and walking and saying, Lord, we want a house. What else like one of these? I should tell you, Lord. What a house. And we pray that we just, you know, walk away and just worship his holy name and glorify him. And one day, that morning, we talk about it and we come to church and say, Lord, it is your will to speak to us. And we come here and our prophet speaks. I don't want to even remember the message today. But the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he says, this is your time to buy a house. This is your time to build a house. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but the Lord is saying, you, this is your time to go and build a house. This is
more. Glory.
And I looked at my wife and said, did you hear that? And she said, I'm hearing.
Praise God.
Can we go home? And all we did was to thank God for the word that he had spoken through after Prophet Cal. He called it Prophet. And without my credit history, we bought the house. That's a big testimony. So we went to the details. We found ourselves buying the house. We imagined the rest form about. And not that I'm watching houses, but I'm really looking at the word of God. What word has been spoken here in church, on radio, on TV, wherever you have the word, what word has been spoken that you need to pick and run with? The Lord is watching over his word performing. What Elijah had in him was the word of the Lord. Elijah was convinced that his word was the word of the Lord. And so he asked the guards to tell the king, ask my word. Why? Because my word is the Lord's word. My word is the Lord's word. Number two, Elijah had faith. The Bible says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's the only thing that the Bible says it is impossible to please God about. I don't read anything else where the Bible says, without this, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, faith is one of probably the most misunderstood concepts in the Christian church. Because again, faith has been reduced to a magic wand for getting property, or a magic wand for getting the physical things we are looking for, whether it's a job, whether it's a girl, whatever. But Faith is that relationship with God.
Faith
is that connection with the Lord God of glory. What does the Bible say? Jesus himself is our faith.
Yes.
And we have in us the faith of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So Elijah had faith and Elijah had the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And with those two things, Elijah had the confidence and the boldness to deal with the very difficult situation of his time. We are dealing with COVID-19.
Right.
And what are COVID-19? And then people are already talking about COVID-20. But COVID-19, what COVID-19 has done is to cause us to distrust each other.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting there, you don't trust me. You're looking at me and saying,
right,
doesn't even have a mask.
Right.
You can't just shake my hand. Neither can I shake yours.
Right.
You can't. Give me a hug. Now, those of you who know me, I'm a hug.
Yes.
I just want to be a privilege. I just want to hug you and hug me. You won.
Yeah.
But now, even when I'm talking to Brother Dan, I must walk 2 extra feet away.
Right.
That's what the devil has basically done to us through this. Being called the COVID, it has taught us to distrust each other. If I show up at your house tomorrow and announce, oh my goodness, you'll be sitting at the edge of your couch, and as soon as I leave, you'll be spraying everything in your house.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Ah,
human beings have become more risky than demons.
Man, you say you have a thing at your house. What are you doing here? What have you come?
Praise the name of the living God.
Amen.
He had the word of God and he had faith. But then he had another critical thing on his side. Let's continue in chapter 17 and see. Now verse 2. The Lord now speaks to Elijah. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. You see this?
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was an inward.
Yes.
Then the word of the Lord now comes to him. Live here. Turn eastward and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Elijah had obedience.
Mm.
Listen, Elijah has just gone through a very powerful experience.
Mm-hmm.
Killing 450 prophets of Baal. In Uganda, you say Baal. Here, you say Baal. Nothing. But then, powerful as he is, a woman says, tonight your head will not sleep on your neck. And the man who has just killed 450 men says, what? He hears the voice of the woman, like, how many kings are sitting in this woman?
Mm-hmm.
And he runs and tells her.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine if he stood and said, I am the prophet? Why do I run? Why do I go hide? What would have happened? But the Lord is saying to him, go and hide.
Right.
And not just one hide in big places, he's going to hide in by the cave near a brook near some river. Not only is he telling anyone hide near a river, he's going to feed him using ravens. How many of us will pick up bread dropped by a raven? If a raven is farting by you and it drops a huge piece of meat, who of us will pick it? Oh my goodness, really? Come on. We're made of faith here, right?
Yes.
But that's what the Lord does to Elijah. So Elijah has obedience. The word of the Lord in us is activated by obedience. The word of the Lord inside of us is activated by obedience.
Amen.
If the Lord says to you, say, say. When Prophet Carl spoke that day, he added the words, I don't know whom I'm speaking. And then I say, I know who you're speaking to. You're speaking to me. That was what we had prayed about with our wife that morning. Obedience. Is the Lord telling you to do something?
Yeah.
Is the Lord telling you to take what you have and give? Is the Lord telling you to get up and go and talk to somebody?
Yeah.
I read a story. I don't even remember the book in which I read this story, but I read many books. Sometimes I don't remember which book I read from, but the story implants itself in my mind. But I was a Baptist pastor who was invited to go and speak to Pentecostal. Now, Pentecostal is over here, I think, is again taken an inch far by these people who pick up snakes and whatever. But Pentecostal is a queen. It's about people who believe in the Baptist in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And the Baptists, I think, were the Southern Baptists who didn't believe in the Baptist in the Holy Ghost. So anyway, this Baptist pastor was invited by these Pentecostal brothers to go and preach. And he went and spoke. And he preached. And after he preached, they entered a prayer session. And he prayed. And they told him, we want to pray over you, brother. So he came and he knelt. And the leaders and the elders came and laid their hands on him. I think his name was Robert. And the elders laid hands on him and they were praying. And they prayed in tongues, and they prayed, and he said their hands were so heavy, and they were not finishing, and they were praying, and they prayed, and they prayed, and he went from kneeling to sitting. He said, right now, what do I do? He was feeling so tired, but they were praying and continuing to pray. And in his mind, he's saying, they're just gibbering. He just blah, 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 they're just gibbering. And then there was one brother who was praying, and he was praying for June. And the man was saying, he don't even know my name. He's still even praying for June. I'm not June. I'm Robert. But this brother was praying for June, and he said, Lord, touch June and heal June and bring deliverance in June's life. And the Lord empowered June. And this man is saying, you even wasting my time here? Well, he's saying to himself, but you're praying for the wrong person. And the fight is about to end. Anyway, he finishes the prayer and he leaves. And he takes over and he's like, readers, I'm praying for John. But you don't even know my name. And he goes to the airport. And as he's waiting for his flight, he looks in the corner and there's a man crying like a baby. The man is crying and wailing and crying and hitting himself. And this man is sick. This man needs help. I need to approach him. I think he needs help. I think he needs Jesus. And so he picks up the courage and approaches him and says, excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I join you? The man says, it's okay. Do you mind if we talk? Says, it's okay, go ahead, let's talk. And he introduces himself, Pastor Robert so-and-so. And he says, can I get to know you? And the man says, I'm John.
Mm-hmm.
I'm John. John so-and-so. And he says, I'm Robert. So busy as the CEO of the company, making money and working, I never found time for my wife. My wife would always ask me, honey, take me to the Bahamas. And every year I would find an excuse not to go to the Bahamas. And then she got cancer, and the doctors told her she can't fly. She died. A dying wish was, honey, when I die, kindly carry my ashes to the Bahamas.
Mm.
And he says, now here I am, carrying ashes, my wife to the Bahamas. And this, all of a sudden, it dawns on this pastor why the other man was praying for you. Obey when the Lord leads you. The brother obeyed and prayed for John. And the Lord brought a connection. I won't finish. It's just the introduction of my message. The word of the Lord is activated by obedience. The word of the Lord is activated by our confession. Our confession. Elijah, if Elijah did not go speak the word to Ahab, I don't think there would have been a drought and famine. I think if Elijah had just remained with his word and known it quietly alone, I doubt that they, that what happened would have happened. But he had right faith with his confession and declaration. Obedience, confession, and faith. Interestingly, even though Elijah spoke his word has to be aligned with God's word for it to bear fruit. So making sure that we align our confession, making sure that we align our thinking, making sure that we align our thoughts and our words with the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Aligning our conversations with the word of the Lord. Aligning our thoughts with the word of the Lord. I know that sometimes for me it is very difficult. It's very easy to pray, and as soon as I finish praying, my thoughts are going in the totally opposite direction. And the answer comes to my prayer, and I'm saying, I can't believe it. You can't believe it. Why were you praying for it? How many of us have said, I can't believe it? And yet you are believing, but then when the Lord does it, you say, I can't believe it. When your word is aligned with the word of the Lord and with this, the will of God, even nature obeys you.
Amen.
And nature itself obeys the wind, the storms, the rain obeys the word of the nature. The ravens bring him food. It's very interesting in verse 4. Verse 4 and verse 9 it says, I have directed the ravens to supply you with food there. Verse 4. Verse 9. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. The Lord always goes ahead.
Yes, he
does.
The Lord is ahead of us.
Amen.
And we're grateful that the Lord is ahead of us.
Yes.
And we bless the holy name of God because the Lord goes ahead of us.
Yes.
When I, before I think my parents come here, the Lord spoke through prophets. Yes. One of the prophets was our own little son, Emmanuel. I think at the time he was 3 or 4 years. And he was sick one day, and I was holding him in my arms. And we had prayed, and now I'm holding him as my dad. Then he looks at me and says, Daddy, we're not living in this country.
Glory.
And during that time I was doing the interviews for the job that brought me. But I didn't tell them as little kids for some of these things, you know. And I say, I'd go where? And he says, go to another country. I say, like which one? And he says, America. And I'm doing the interviews, and for me I'm saying, this is the confirmation. And the Lord speaks to us. But the Lord goes ahead of us. But sometimes he's speaking through sources that you would not expect.
Yes.
But that's not all. Sometimes he's speaking through sources in this place. can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of that little kid? Can anything good come out of a policeman? And when you are talking to a black man, when you are talking to a black man,
you have to.
But the Lord speaks through people. And we know it. This is how they respect.
Right.
You may despise
the hard one.
They don't want it. You may not like it. They don't look like it.
Right. You don't look like me.
They don't. You don't just don't like it. Maybe you don't like their style. That guy preaches, he's talking stories. He goes all over and over and he's. And you miss your wife.
Amen.
Because you're looking at the outside form and not what the Lord is speaking to. Now listen. God places your deliverance, your answers in places you don't expect and you may not like. Some of the answers to the things we've been praying for are in places we don't like or we don't expect. Number one, Elijah has to be fed by ravens as a group. Number two, he has to be fed by a widow. Who has one meal to eat and die? Hey, let me move on here. Be careful what you decree and confess. Be careful what you speak. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, the power of life and death lies in the tongue. When Elijah declared famine, Elijah forgot that he also depended on the same rain to live. So he too had to get the effects of what he had confessed. The brook had to dry up. Because the brook is fed by the rain, and if the rain hasn't come for 3 years, trust me, the brook will die. So the brook dried up, and Elijah had to get some impact of that. So let's be careful what we say and confess. Because the Bible says the word of the Lord cannot return to him void.
Right.
It will have to bear the fruit. I was one time in the church, and there was a young man that the pastor was rebuking. The young man stood up and out of anger and pride started speaking back at the pastor. And the pastor was rebuking him, saying, what if he wasn't right? And the young man stands up in pride and it became some kind of exchange, shouting mic for a while. The young man made a statement and he said, yeah, you can say whatever you want, let it happen to me. The same God you worship is the same God I worship. And in my heart I was like, no, that's not right. That man is standing in the authority of God right there on that pulpit. And whatever he speaks is in the authority of God. And you know it didn't take long before this young man goes into very bad trouble. The next time I had him was in prison. I went and visited him and I said, that's what in my country. I went and I said, you really need to humble yourself and repent. Because those words that you spoke, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, and he humbled himself and repented. And he was, his sentence was commuted. Now he's serving the Lord in humility. Be careful what you decree, what you confess, what you speak. Whether you're speaking about yourself or about others, be careful what you speak. There is power. Verse 12 is very interesting. And I'm trying to run here very quickly. And I'm in chapter 17. I'll dwell there most of the time and then I'll be done very shortly. As sure as the Lord, you are God, lives. She replied, I don't have any bread. This is the widow. Now, Elijah meets the widow. It's the first time they talk. What Elijah said was, as she was going to get, Elijah said to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called and said, bring me please a piece of bread. And the lady answered, as surely as the Lord your God leads, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jar. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Some people have interpreted that to mean that the food had poison. I personally interpreted it to mean that it was the only meal and after that they would die. This woman recognizes that there is God in Elijah. Mm. And the question for me is, do people recognize God in me?
Right.
When they see me.
That's the question right there.
When they hear me, when they meet me, when I interface with people. Does the Spirit of God in me reach out to them?
Come on.
And what do I need to do for the Spirit of God in me to exude and touch other lives? Because people should see you or hear you and notice that there is God in you. The woman said, as long as your God lives, not my God, your God lives.
Amen.
But part B of that same verse, verse 12. Sometimes the Lord places you in difficult situations where the solution can be from Him to bring Himself the glory. There will be times when the Lord will put you in a situation where the solution can only come from God. This woman is at a stage where one meal stands between her and death. But at the same time, here is Elijah, where the only place he can hope to get a meal is from a widow. Can you imagine yourself going to a widow? Mm-hmm. He's about to die and you take her food. CNN learns of it. That they were distributing food at this church. Mm-hmm. And the food is getting finished and there's only one box and there's this big man who came from Uganda with his family and he pushed away an old widow and took the meal. And it is on social media and CNN and everywhere. These days with photographs. Even you are the judge, you will be so won't you all say, oh my God, is he even a Christian? You begin to doubt all the others you know. You see, we never knew. His true character just came out. But this is what the Elijah does. Sometimes God places us in situations. And like you talked about the worry we have about jobs and employment. And I believe this is the thing that is worrying and eating up everybody, even those who have saved and savings. Nobody knows what lies ahead. Mm-hmm. I think we are going through a situation where the evolution is still is only beginning to happen. Mm-hmm. Who knows what is going to come next? Recently, I heard of unsolicited seeds being sent to people to plant, coming in from China. So I don't know what else the Chinese are about to send. What will follow? What if COVID comes and takes the only person with the income partner in the home? Mm-hmm. What happens? Sometimes the Lord will place us in situations where only Him can get that glory. It's not always the devil.
Well, thank you.
I know that we are quick to say the devil, Satan, evil. But sometimes the Lord Himself is looking for His glory.
Amen.
And He puts you in a situation where only He can glorify, can be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
When you take the little you have and hand it over to God, it becomes abundance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you take the little you have and you give it to God, God multiplies it. You remember the two fish?
Mm-hmm.
The five loaves of bread and the two fish?
Yes.
This widow, Elijah, prophets. I fear them. He says, before you eat, bring to me.
Right.
The woman has already declared there is enough for her and her son. Elijah says, but you don't have a husband, so I'm the man in the home. Make sure that as a man I need one. Bring to me. Can you imagine if this woman had said, no? Tell her son, come, let's sit in the corner, eat, eat, and then take the maize to Because Elijah, I'm sure as a prophet, was seeing this all. As she obeys, she brings to him. And what happens? She goes back, and the pot of flour is full.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And she goes to the oil, the pot of oil is full.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness, she just doesn't want Elijah to leave now. It's like, can you stay longer? Can you be here?
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah is like, I'm going to be here, don't worry. I'm here. Praise the name of the living God. When you take what you have and hand it over to the Lord, it becomes abundance. Maybe sometimes we just need to take what we have. Recently, I was speaking to somebody in Uganda. She has been unemployed for nearly 2 years. And we prayed, and she's looked for jobs, and she has set applications. And so when we talked, she told me and said, I've signed up to God. I've said to God, He sees me, He knows me, mm-hmm. let Him get me a job.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, surely, after a week or two, she receives a call from somebody who says, I am still looking for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's employed.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just have to learn to stop scheming.
Right.
To stop maneuvering, to stop manipulating, to stop finding the solutions ourselves, and allow God to find the solution for us.
Yeah.
But I know it is hard.
Yeah.
Because we live in a world which trains you to do it yourself.
Yeah.
DIY, right? Do it yourself. Fix it. Get up. Fix it. But some things you can't fix. The Lord has to fix it for you.
Yeah.
Let's learn to surrender to Him. Verse 17 through 24, as I draw the conclusion. 17 through 24. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. In other words, he died. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even in this week for this widow? I'm staying weak by causing her son to die. And he stretched himself out on the boy 3 times and cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him.
Mm.
And he lived.
Mm. Mm.
This is a few notes on this when I read this. Just because you serve the Lord doesn't mean you will not face trials. Just because you serve the Lord, you pray, you preach, you sing, you worship, you give, you prophesy, whatever you do in service of the Lord, does not mean you will not face trials. They will come. Just because the widow serving the prophet did not spare her the pain. It came. It came. But when the trial comes, we need to know where to go. This woman could have buried her son in shame. Could have even had it to say, I don't want the prophet to even know that my son died. Today, I know places and people who will not even want to admit they are going through a challenge, or they are sick, or they have a problem. You know, the other day, on Tuesday, we were praying, and Pastor Matt said, anybody needs prayer. So Tuesday after on Sunday here in church. And I say, we all need prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You ask me just because I'm not saying I need prayer, doesn't mean I don't need prayer.
Right.
Each one of us is sitting on a prayer project.
Yeah.
Maybe sickness, maybe an illness, maybe a job challenge, maybe a marriage challenge, maybe the home with the family.
Yeah.
Maybe relational, maybe your son. You sang about there was a a song that talked about my daughter's
addiction.
Right. You know, and I thought about that and I said, oh my God, you know, it's so real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There are challenges. Mm-hmm. And some of them we don't know, but they're there. Mm-hmm. We don't know. I mean, tomorrow, you don't have a job, you're not paying your mortgage. We live in a world that is so unforgiving. Mm-hmm. People will throw you on the street. I keep wondering, why should there be people sleeping on the street
right.
at the White House?
I never understand that.
And they are veterans.
Right.
They have laid their life down for this country.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. But God's one. The woman came to Elijah. The woman came to God. The woman came to God and said, Lord. It's pain here. And then Elijah cried to the Lord. I grew up in a culture where they said, men don't cry. Even when you are hurting, you are not supposed to cry and you're not supposed to be seen crying. So you are dying in pain inside it. But Elijah cried. Lord Jesus cried.
Yes, he did.
Brothers, let's learn to pray to the Lord.
Amen.
It's not a shameful thing to pray to the Lord.
It's a manly thing to be.
The Lord will come to our help.
Glory to God.
At his own time.
Amen.
Trials reveal the quality of your faith. Trials reveal the quality of your faith. But they also draw you closer to God. And they also strengthen the quality of your faith. So trials, that's why James writes and says, count it all joy when you face various forms of trials.
Mm-hmm.
Count it all joy when you face various forms of trials. Count it all joy when you face various forms of trials. Let me finish with this. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord order our steps.
Yes.
Indeed.
Amen.
Because we are the righteousness of God. Again, in one of the songs we sang, He became our sin.
Amen.
That we become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So we are righteous before His sight. We are the righteousness of God. We are righteous in the eyes of the Lord. May the Lord Himself order our steps. During this very complicated time, may the Lord order our steps. And I know that some of our steps may be ordered in the wrong direction, quote unquote. Your steps may be ordered to walk right into the fire. When nobody is willing to walk into the situation, the Lord may be looking to you to be the one that walks into that situation.
Yes,
to save and deliver somebody.
Amen.
The Lord may be looking to you to give up something for somebody. The Lord may be looking to you to reach out. One of the things I've been thinking about very seriously is how do we grow this church? How do we get more people? Because I believe that the church needs to grow. And I've been praying about it. The Lord may be looking to us. The Lord is looking to each one of us. To reach out. To speak to people. And share the gospel. But how do you reach out at a time when the world is so broken? That showing up at somebody's door is perceived as risky. They will call the police on you. Especially those of you who look like me. And not only do you look like me, but you have an accent like mine, where you don't say war, but you say water. You never say water. I can't say water. I say water.
Yes.
I'm told that when you go to Canada one way, they will find out that you're not Canadian. You can't say Toronto. You say Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know the city is Toronto. You say, no, you say Toronto. You don't say Ottawa, you say Ottawa. I'm like, okay, then you have already found out where I don't come from. I'm just Canadian. Mm-hmm. But the Bible clearly tells us that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Because, you know, it's part of this message that I have just had, because once I start on it, then we need to be prepared to pay up another 1 hour with me, which is okay. I mean, if I were in Uganda, I would come and be carry on, because there we keep watches, but we don't keep time.
Mm-hmm.
But here people keep trying to do when they don't have watches. But chapter 18, verse 6. Ahab is looking for Elijah because he now knows and remembers that man came and told him there will be no rain, and there's no rain. The situation has become so bad that people are eating their children. Today, the situation has become so bad that the other day I was watching the news, a man who has kicked his son out of the home because the boy decided to travel to Florida from New York at the time when the pandemic was.
COVID,
yeah. When they came back, and he said, you can get into my house. I told you don't go.
Right.
He came back and they had changed the locks on the door.
Oh, wow.
The situation has become so bad that
wow.
You don't even trust the person who sleeps with you. It's like, where have you been?
Yeah.
What have you been doing? It was happening at that time. Verse 6. So they divided the land they were to cover. Ahab going in one direction and Obadiah in another. Obadiah was a man who believed in God. He was a secret servant of God working in the palace of Ahab. He and Ahab are looking for Elijah. Ahab goes one direction, Obadiah goes the other. The Bible clearly tells us where Obadiah went, as Obadiah was walking alone, verse 7, Elijah met him. Obadiah recognized him, bowed down to the ground and said, is it really you, my Lord Elijah? Yes, he replied, go tell your master, Elijah is here. How Obadiah said, what have I done wrong as you, Obadiah, that you are handing me over to Ahab to put me to death? As sure as the Lord your God lives, there is not a nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to look for you. And whenever a nation or kingdom claimed you were not there, he made them swear they could not find you. But now you tell me to go my master and say, Elijah is here? I don't know where the spirit of the Lord may carry you.
Right.
When I leave you.
Right.
If I go and tell Ahab and he doesn't find you, he'll kill me.
Right.
Yes, I, your servant, have worshipped the Lord since my youth.
Right.
Haven't you heard, my Lord, what I did when Jezebel was killing the prophets of the Lord? I hit 100 of the Lord's prophets in the scripture in each. And supplied them with food and water.
Tell it.
Now you tell me to go to my master and say, Elijah is here, he'll kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah said, that the Lord Almighty lives, myself, I will surely present myself there today.
Glory to God.
Be careful when you deal with spiritual people. But
right.
Clearly, we need to be careful when we deal with spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
We all our thoughts here are spiritual. And the people who deal with that must be very careful. Because when you deal with spiritual people, you may think you have understood them.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you have not.
Right.
You don't. Anyway. What do we learn from this little story? This is the last. Did I say last? Mm-hmm. Say last, sorry, okay? save us all. How something remarkable of which you can remind the Lord. Verse 13 to 15. Obadiah says, Lord, I have certainly done something. Not that our works can earn righteousness for us, they cannot. But there must be something you can remind the Lord and say, Lord, you know what I did.
Right.
All the people, well, not all the people, but many people, you remember this woman, Dorcas? This is also God loving her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When she died,
yeah.
The women came with their sweaters to Peter. They were saying, she made all this for us. Mm-hmm. Please bring her back to life.
Yes.
You remember King Hezekiah?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When the Lord came and told him you're going to die,
mm-hmm.
in the book of 2 Kings 20, mm-hmm. verse 3, King Hezekiah turned to the Lord and said, mm-hmm. remember. So, I want to encourage each one of us, let's invest ourselves in the kingdom of the Lord and be able to remind the Lord of something. Say something to the Lord. And say, Lord, remember.
That's a good word.
The Lord, you know how, Lord, remember how I have given up in the hands of the cold and I'm going to sing. Thank you, Sister Taylor, I'm talking about you. And I'm going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the sacrifices that we make
mm-hmm.
will be honored. By the Lord God of
glory.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I want to thank you very much for the day you gave us this afternoon to be in your presence and to share from your mind. May these reflections, Lord, be expounded on in our lives by the Holy Spirit Himself, who is the author and the finisher of this work of faith. May He teach us, may He amplify this word in us, may He multiply it, may this word go and bear fruit in us, Lord. And whatever else you want to teach us. Help us, Lord God, to have the obedience, to have the faith, to have the willingness and the commitment to go forth and do that which you send us to do, even when it is not as pleasant and encouraging, even when it is not what we want. And Lord, as we go through this very complex time so far, when people's faith is beginning to decline, when people are perplexed, when people are scared, when people don't know what is happening, when there's so much turmoil and loss and all these challenges happening around us, Lord, we pray that you will give us the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, such as you gave to Elijah, to know how to deal with the times that he was dealing with. And Lord God, I pray that for each one of us, Lord, you will send the ravens of God that you want to come mm-hmm. and minister to us, oh God. Whether ravens bringing good news, ravens bringing provision, ravens bringing healing, ravens bringing encouragement, Lord. And Father, these ravens were angels, Lord God of glory. So may the angels of God minister to each one of us. May the angels come to our homes. May the angels meet us on the way. May the angels come to our businesses. May they come to our places of work. May the angels reach out to our family members, wherever they are. May the angels reach out right now, Pastor Pat and his wife, and yes. travel wherever they are, Lord God. May the angels of God minister, Lord God, where healing is needed, healing, where provision is needed, provision, Lord God. Father, lead us to a group, oh God, where we can drink from. Father, where we can get that joy, that peace, that calmness, that healing, that reassurance that we need to be able to go through these circumstances and situations. That the name of our God will be honored and
glorified.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
our Lord.
Amen.
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 Amen. May the Lord bless you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.